Father, Lord, we thank you because the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Now, Lord, as we approach that table this morning, may we come with simpleness of heart, opening up our heart to the Lord. Hear your word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Welcome, everyone. Praise the Lord. Another hour of power today. We're taking and trying to unpack the scriptures in Psalm 119. Very long psalm. Can't do it in one day. So I'll probably do it over 2 days. So today is part one. The word of God. So powerful. Out of the Psalms, Psalm 119. And we're going to just read through it, be like scripture reading, but I'll pause as we go along and see what the Lord will tell us. I'm going to cover the entire Psalm. You know, if it takes me 2 days or 3 days, so be it. But we're going through the entire Psalm, 176 verses or so. All right, here we go. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, Psalm 119, who walk in the law of the Lord. One thing I want to point out right away from this psalm is it's all the entire 176 verses. It's all about the word of God. He may call it thy law. He may call it thy precepts. You know, whatever he refers to it as, it's all about the word of God. And we're going to see all the things that he wrote. Powerful, powerful inspiration concerning the word of God written in this very long psalm. The longest chapter right there in the Bible. And blessed, he says, are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. So every time you see the law of the Lord or his precepts, just put it as the word of God. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Well, the reason they do no iniquity, we'll find out later on, is because they keep his word. And they cherish his word. And that word is what keeps them from iniquity. If we also keep the word of God in our hearts, it'll keep us from iniquity. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. That's right. The Lord has commanded us to do that. And so it is our responsibility to keep the word of God diligently. You know, don't sway to the left or to the right. Oh, that my ways were directed, O Lord, to keep thy statutes. Now, that's a prayer. And as we go through this reading of this psalm, and just as we hear some of these words, then listen and make it a prayer as we read along. He said, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. So he's going to give us a secret here of how you will never be ashamed. You know, some of us quote the scripture, oh, my people shall never be ashamed and all of that. We will never be ashamed and so on and so forth. We quote that scripture. So right here, in these next two verses, it's going to give us the secret of how you will not be ashamed. Listen to this. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. So we see right there the secret of not being ashamed. That's right. If we keep his commandments, respect his word, have respect means we tremble at that word. and everything he says, we do. Jesus himself pretty much said the same thing. John 14, 21 and 23. You heard me quote it many times. You know, he that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And I'll come and make my abode with him. Well, if the Lord's with you, you will not be ashamed. I will praise thee with uprightness of my heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment. Well, the only way you learn it is out of his word. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Well, he's not going to forsake you. If you don't forsake him, you know, the Lord is ever with us. We are the ones that will have to walk away from him. He'll never forsake you. He already said it. I will never forsake you, nor leave you. Hallelujah. And Jesus himself, he made this declaration in the book of John 8 and 29. He said, look, I am not alone. I'm never alone. My Father is always with me. He's the one that sent me, but he's always with me too. Why? Because I do always those things that are pleasing in his sight. So the prayer that we need to pray this morning from this first section of Psalm 119 is that we may do always his pleasure, do always his statutes, keep his, you know, commandments, and follow his ways. Then we shall not be ashamed. Then we know he's always with us. He will be with you, you know, if you are with him. That's right. Said, Lord, the Lord will be with you if you return unto him. If we forsake him, then, well, he has no choice. But if we stay with his word, he will always be with you. I will keep thy statutes. Hallelujah. Oh, forsake me not utterly. God's not going to forsake you, you know, but you got to stay with his word. My covenant of peace and my kindness would never be removed from you. Isaiah 54 and verse 10. Isaiah 54 and verse 10. The Lord will never remove his kindness from you, and never will he remove his covenant of peace from you. The mountains may be removed, the hills may depart, but the Lord will never remove his kindness, nor his covenant of peace from you. Verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? Well, this is a question. You know, you young folks that are in the room here, how are you going to cleanse your ways? Especially young men. How do we cleanse our hearts? How do we cleanse our ways? Well, he asks the question, but he also gives the answer. And there are many verses here that we should memorize. You know, memorize this. There was a time I was doing Bible study with my children. They were growing up, not quite this age that they are in now. And I gave them about 50 or 60 something verses out of this Psalm 119. I said, memorize this. And I called out many of them. And this was the first, one of the first. You know, how shall you cleanse your ways? And he said, well, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Well, that's how we cleanse your ways, whether young man or not, young woman or otherwise, old or not. But, you know, from a young age, you begin to take heed according to his word. Now, not according to the word of man, not according to dogmas and, you know, different things, creed and so forth, you know, religious organizations, but according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Can we really say, can you say that you are seeking after the Lord with your whole heart, and you are willing to take his word as he reveals it to you and throw away any preconceived notion? Don't wander from his commandments. Thy word, this is the secret. ladies and gentlemen, the secret that will keep us from sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That's another verse that we should memorize. Psalm 119. You should memorize verse 9. You should also memorize verse 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against the Lord. That's right. When I was a young man, I learned this saying that said, you know, this Bible, they told us then in the, you know, Bible study groups that I was at and so forth. Say, you know, they said, well, this Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this Bible. They said, you know, make your choice. You read this word, you meditate on it, you keep it in your heart, it'll keep you from sin. Well, you walk in a life of sin, it will keep you from reading the Bible. So what's going to be? And I said, well, I don't read the Bible. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Remember what I said at the beginning, every place you see statutes, judgments, thy word, testimonies, and law, and everything, causing it different things throughout this psalm, but they are all the same thing. It's all about the word of God. This whole psalm is all about the word of God. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Now this man, you know, you can put riches and God's word in parallel. And he said, look, riches are good, but for me, I rejoice in your word, in your testimonies, as much as I do in all riches. You're going to find out some other things later on that he says about how he rejoices in the word of God, like someone that found great spoil. You'll see that when we come to it. And he rejoices. He said, look, I will meditate in thy precepts and will have respect unto thy ways. Verse 16. It's another good one that we should memorize. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Well, one of the reasons we do what we do on this platform by the grace of God is exactly this, that we may not forget thy word, that we don't forget the ancient landmarks, we'll bring it to our remembrance. Don't forget the word of God. Deal, he said in verse 17, bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. I mean, that was his desire. Everything, almost every sentence he puts in this place is around the word of God. One way or another, he'll bring it out. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, or thy book, or thy word. That's another good one to memorize. In fact, I remember memorizing this verse 18 when I was a young man. You know, we always said it. Open thou my eyes, O Lord, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And I just memorized it. Didn't fully know what it meant, but memorized it nonetheless. Today, I know a whole lot more what that means. You know, in the word of God are hidden secrets of the ages. That's right. It's like the hidden manna. And blessed are those who are called, and they shall eat of that hidden manna. Glory to God. Huh? But we must pursue beyond even the showbread. You know, showbread is out in the open for everyone. But do you want the hidden manna? Then there is a price that must be paid. You got to go a little bit beyond. Just like the disciples, Jesus would speak to everybody in parables, including the disciples. But then the disciples would drop down later on and say, Lord, declare to us that parable of this and that. And then he would declare it to them. But, you know, only the ones that came to ask. The others, to them, it would be in parables. You know, so there's a lot of things in this word of God that's like parables. You know, it's out there. a parable is a, you know, story, a lesson, a truth, a whatever that's put out there, but yet has hidden truths in it. And you know, uncovers many things. You know, put it out there, but until you come closer, that word will not be revealed. It reminds me of Exodus chapter 3, the first encounter of Moses with the burning bush and the pillar of fire and the voice. See, the Lord appeared unto him, but at first all he saw was a burning bush that was not consumed. And he saw, you can read the first five or so verses of Exodus chapter 3. I'm not going to stop to read it. I'm just going to tell you the story. And when he saw the fire, the flame burning in the bush, but he saw that the bush was not consumed. You know, normally the fire would spread all over the place and consume all the bush. Fire didn't even do that. Fire was just in that one place. It was not consuming anything. It was just burning. You know, and he was like, wow, I got to turn aside and see this great sight. Well, the Lord waited for him to turn aside and to see the great sight. But he didn't hear the word. The word was not spoken until he came closer. If he had run off after seeing the phenomenon of the fire, then he would not have heard the word. Now, the word is where the life is at, not in the fire. Not in any of those things. And that's what happens to us today. When the Holy Spirit comes down in the pillar of fire, there's some phenomena, some acts or some wonders. People run off and they say, I've heard, you know, I've seen the fire today. I saw the glory. I did this, and they run off and so forth. But those that will wait, you know, that phenomena is just to draw you in. That's not the end by itself. If you run off after you see the cloudy pillar or the cloven tongues of fire, then you will not get the word. So stay right there. Don't run off. You know, there's more coming just to get your attention. And that's what these scriptures are telling us. When we come closer, we'll find wondrous things out of his book. I am a stranger, he said, continuing verse 19, in the earth, hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for even the longing, you know, that he hath unto thy judgments at all times. You know, he's just hungry, he said, you know, my soul hungry, you know, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me, O Lord, reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Again, every other sentence in this long chapter is somehow brought right back and connected with the word of God. Now let's keep reading. A lot of things said, I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant, talking of himself, did meditate in thy statutes. That was his answer to everything. You know, when everything's going against him, people are speaking against him, the scourge of the tongue is against him and so forth, tongues rising against him in judgment and people, you know, trying to kill him and so forth, even his son rise up against him and so forth. Saul always going after his life, all kinds of things. He said, well, you know, my answer is I will meditate in thy statutes. I will meditate in thy word. Hallelujah. Thy testimonies are also my delight and they are my counselors. That's a good one to also memorize. Are the Lord's testimonies, which means all the things that God declared. Remember, a testimony is a declaration. All the things that God declared in the Bible, are those things your counselors? Or where is your counseling coming from? You know, so the Lord's word should be our counselors. And how do you memorize a verse? Well, you say, you know, the text, and then you say the reference. So you say, thy testimonies also are my delight. And my counselors, Psalm 119 and verse 24. You got to know the text and you got to know where it is found. Moving on. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. You know, sometimes that's how he felt. You know, he felt like that many times in Ziklag. He felt like that in 1 Samuel chapter 30, the first 6 verses. That many times, you know, I mean, he just felt like that. When Saul was throwing the javelin at him and when his own son were against him and everything, you know, and he said, look, all these things are happening to him. His soul is cast down. His soul cleaves to the dust. Why are thou cast down? Why are you cleaving to the dust? You know, stir up yourself, he said. Lift thyself up. Oh, I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He was speaking to himself. And how did he do it? You know, he said, well, the Lord will quicken me according to his word. Quicken thou me, O Lord, according to your word. Because I have inclined my ways and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. I have declared thy ways and my ways. You know, your ways and his ways equal. The Lord said, my ways and your ways are not equal. You know, the Lord's going one way and sometimes we are going another way. You know, but, you know, can we align our ways with the Lord's ways? The Lord said, my ways are also higher than yours. So we should seek, you know, for the higher ways and not settle, you know, for things, you know, that I don't level up with God. You know, God's ways are higher. Well, so let's seek for the higher ways. Make me, Lord, to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of all thy wondrous works. My goodness. My soul melted for heaviness. Well, why art thou cast down within me? Why art thou disquieted within me, O my soul? You know. But every time he will turn right back to the word. Strengthen thou me, O Lord, according to thy word. Well, there's many things you can use the word of God to strengthen yourself in every situation. Why? Because the word of God, according to Psalm 48, is beautiful for every situation. It's beautiful. And there is always power of encouragement in that word. You know, particularly if you read the stories of others and you read the declarations of people like Jeremiah, like Isaiah, like David, you know, how they set their faces like flint, how they would not, you know, back down. How they said, thy word will be an encouragement to me. And use his word to encourage yourself from time to time. Remove from me the way of lying. Huh. Grant me thy law graciously. That's another good one to learn, because the Bible says at the end, you know, everything that lieth or maketh a lie shall not enter into the holy city. Loveth or maketh a lie. So Lord, remove from me the way of lying. What is the way of lying? It's just like, you know, it's just in nature. You know, I mean, people just do it. They just gravitate towards lies. You know, sometimes there's even no reason to lie. You just gravitate towards lie. And a lot of people sometimes think that, you know, lying will get out of a difficult situation. You know, you notice that young kids all do that also when they think they're about to get into trouble, tell a lie to get out of it. Well, and, you know, enough time, they do that enough time, it becomes their way of life. Just a lying, even when it is, there's absolutely even no reason. You know, face the consequences, tell the truth. The scripture says, buy the truth and sell it not. What's the price that you're willing to pay for the truth? That's what that means. What's the price that you are willing to pay for the truth? Well, you know, perhaps getting out of trouble or perceived trouble. Maybe that's the price that we are willing to pay for the truth. You know, so, but, you know, if you will not sell the truth at any price, no matter what, then you are steadfast in his word. You can read that in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Hallelujah. That means, well, you know, what is your price for truth? Well, let's ask that question today. Let me pause a bit and let's dwell on Proverbs 23:23 for a second. You know, what is your price? You know, what is your price for truth? Everybody, we're told, has their price. And there's a saying like that. People say, well, everybody has your price. What's your breaking point? You know, what's it going to take for the devil to break you? You know, for Job, there was a lot of things the devil tried to break him. First, you know, it was his children. It was this. It was all his goods and everything. 7,000 cattle and all these things. Just everything destroyed in one day. All his children gone. Tried everything to break him. Well, he couldn't do it. So he came back and said, well, let me put forth my hand to his life and I'll break him. You know, so some folks, you know, what is your price? You know, it's kind of like, you know, terrorists, they'll try to break, you know, the country, then go in and kidnap the ambassador's family or the president's family or do something. You know, president might not care for his own life. But if you go and touch his wife or his daughter or anything, he's almost liable to break that long-standing rule that we don't negotiate with terrorists. He's going to negotiate because he, I mean, just thinking of his precious, precious angel, his little daughter. They kidnapped that daughter. He's almost going to try to break that rule. You know, we've seen that in movies and also on all the time when they depict that. But, you know, so what is your price? Where is it at? You know, some people, their price may be promotion. You know, yeah, if you sell the truth for promotion, I mean, whatever it is, some people will do anything to get ahead in life. Well, that's selling the truth. You know, so, but this man said, look, you know, I'm going to do everything, stay according to the word of God. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. Verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. That's right. Versus the way of lying. He's comparing the way of lying to the way of truth. And he said, well, I've chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have also, I've laid them before me, you know, and I have stuck unto thy testimonies. You know, this man is staying glued to the word of God. He's not going to turn loose. I am stuck to thy testimonies. I have stuck myself to thy testimonies. Oh Lord, put me not to shame. Well, he's not going to put you to shame. You already said that. The way to avoid shame is by taking heed according to this word. You go back to verse 6 and you see it. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all of thy commandments. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're now at verse 32. I will run the way of thy commandments. Now, this man, he will not only walk in God's commandments, he will actually run with them. He's somebody that is sold out for the word of God. You know, he said, look, when you enlarge my heart, you know, his heart is always after the things of God. That's why the Lord said, this is a man that's after my heart. That's right. He was always after, I mean, not that he didn't do anything wrong ever. He committed some grave sins. But his heart was after the Lord. And he repented with all his heart. And his heart was after the Lord. And the Lord didn't hold that thing against him forever. The Lord dealt with him. The Lord dealt with his sin too. You know, and he prayed honestly. And the Lord said, no, you know, I'm going to take that child, you know, from you. I could have given you more women if that's what you wanted, you know. But why would you go take this thing from this man? And not only that, I go kill him also, you know, plot to kill him, have him killed, send him into the heat of the battle so he could be killed after you did the wrong thing to his wife. And that thing was like an absolutely no-no for the Lord. The Lord was going to get rid, I mean, deal with him. And Lord dealt with him, you know, but he turned his heart back towards the Lord. And today, till today, it's gone. As far as God's concerned, God still chose this man's throne to set upon. Even till this day, it's going to happen, you know. So, you know, but unfortunately for David, those are the two things that people remember about him. You know, his acts against Goliath and all these great battles, and his sins against Bathsheba and Uriah. You know, those are the two things that people remember. But ladies and gentlemen, forget that ugly side. The Lord already forgot it. You know, the Lord chose this man's throne to set upon, because his heart was always after the Lord. And here is his prayer to guarantee that the Lord, you know, that he will stay with the Lord till the end. This is his prayer in verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. You know, not just start out with the statutes and then fall along the wayside. Fall on the wayside along the way. No, stay with it till the end. Matthew 24:13. And they that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. You got to stay till the end, not jump out in the bit, you know, at the beginning. Jesus told this parable in Matthew 13 and said, look, there was the seed that fell on rocks. You know, and they sprang out immediately, but because they had no root in themselves, when the sun rose up, they were scorched, and eventually they withered away. So root is very important. You know, stand firm in the word of God. Grow root downward and bear fruit upward, saith the Lord. To grow root downward, you must be rooted and grounded in the word of God. You know, that's why we're talking about this. This is the most important aspect of our Walking with God series, is bringing people back to the word and staying with that word. Give me understanding, Lord, he said, and I shall keep thy law. Remember, we always pray about understanding every single day. I come out here. I say the entrance of your word, and you're going to see when we get to verse 130. The entrance of your word, you know, brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Every single day I say it on this platform. Give me understanding, Lord, and I might keep thy law. Yea, and I shall observe it with my whole heart. I mean, just see his passion for the word of God. Make me to go in the truth and the path, rather, of thy commandments. Make me to go in the path of thy commandment, for therein do I delight. Can you say that you delight in his commandments, rather than, you know, trying to explain them away? You know, the commandments of God are not actually that grievous, but sometimes we try to explain them away because the iniquity is abounding all around us, people discrediting and ignoring the word of God, and making the word of God of no effect at all by their traditions. You know, if we are not careful, all that stuff rubs up on us. But take your stand in the word of God. Make me to go in thy path, the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. That's another good one. You know, covetousness, you know, it's one of the original laws too. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, thy neighbor's husband, thy neighbor's this, or anything that is thy neighbor's. His servant, his ass, his donkey, his this, his that. Thou shalt not covet. You know, but covetousness has gone into the hearts of men today, unfortunately. Lord gave those guardrails in the beginning to help us live a better life. You know, that's pleasing to God. But unfortunately, when people don't stay with the word of God, covetousness enters in, you know. But having food and raiment, let us be there with contempt. For, you know, godliness with contentment is great gain, but gain is not godliness. So godliness, you know, with contentment is gain, but gain is not godliness. And some people actually think, you know, that gain is godliness. I've had conversations with people, and I've heard people say they actually think that when you are blessed and you are prospering, you know, they equate that to, you know, being in right standing with God, and say, well, you know, God's blessing, you know, I mean, God, if this man was not in right with God, then God would not be blessing him. And they forget that God makes his sun to shine upon even the wicked, you know. So that's not how God measures anything. You know, you may have your good in this life, just like the rich man and the story of the rich man, the beggar Lazarus. Rich man had his time, but did he make it in just because he was rich? No, he did not. As a matter of fact, you know, sometimes the riches kept them out, you know. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, you can read that in 1 Timothy, you know, chapter 6 and verse 6. You know, it's great gain when we are content. He said, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. You cannot carry anything out, folks. You know, you brought nothing into this world, and people might accumulate and amass a lot of wealth while they are in this world. Maybe the Lord bless them and so forth. Well, if they give the glory to God and use it for good, it's a great thing. Can actually use it to purchase for themselves, you know, a seat in the kingdom. If they use all of that to the glory of God, you know, God will give them, you know, reward for it. However, if you use it, you know, just consume it upon your own lusts, and it's drawn away because of all those riches, it can become a snare. There was a rich young man who came to Jesus and asked him a few questions of how he might inherit eternal life. And when the Lord told it to him, he said, well, all of these I've done since my youth. The Lord said, well, that's really cool. And the Lord actually looked at him and said he told the truth and he loved him. And then the Lord said to him, well, nevertheless, thou lackest one thing. There's one thing that's blocking you. The Lord looked right into his heart and he saw it. So, well, you know, there's the one thing that's blocking you right now is your dependency upon your riches. Your heart is after your riches. You know, that thing is blocking you. Go and sell all those things you have, give them to the poor, and come and have me, and you'll have, you know, opportunity to enter in. The man went away sorrowful because he had great riches. You know, he couldn't do it. Jesus wasn't telling us that everybody should go and sell their riches. You know, but this particular man, that was the one thing, his Achilles heel, if you want to say it that way, that was blocking him. And the Lord said, look, this is the one thing that's preventing you. Nevertheless, thou lackest one thing. And if you lack that one thing, it's not going to be a good thing for you. That one thing that you lack may just very well prevent you. In many cases, covetousness will lead to a lot of things that are ugly. And at the end, may make someone to miss the way. You know, so we're reading here that the psalmist is saying, you know, get my heart away from covetousness when I keep your testimonies. Verse 37, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity and quicken me, Lord, in thy way. Yeah, that's another prayer. Good and powerful prayer. Many times interjects prayer throughout this chapter of Psalms 119. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Remember, the fear of the Lord, you know, the beginning of wisdom. Say, turn away my reproach, which I fear. Well, the thing that you fear, the Lord can turn that away. He said, thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me, Lord, according to thy righteousness. Quicken me in your righteousness. I mean, this psalm is loaded with prayer of contrition. You know, the contrite heart always praying, asking the Lord to help him, and so forth. Well, let me read a few more verses. I'm going to split this study into two or three, but let me read a few more verses here. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. You know, this is his prayer. Every other sentence is praying that the Lord will enrich his heart with God's word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. You know, again, this is the same thing where he said, look, those who rise up against me and so forth like that, every time they do that, it goes back to the word. And he said, look, when I trust in the word, when you trust in the word, never mind what others say, you know, their words will boom around against them. You just trust in the Lord, you know, and, you know, have an answer of confidence in his word. When your heart is right, your hands are clean, doesn't matter, you know, what anyone else tries to say, the Lord will deliver you in confidence. Praise the Lord. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law. I mean, this man, that's always the thing he's had. Keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Well, it means that if you seek the way of the Lord, it actually brings liberty and deliverance. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings. Hallelujah. That's a good one. This man, he doesn't care. He's not going to be ashamed. So I will not be ashamed. Come before authorities. Come before anything. He say, you can't do that. You know, can't speak the name of Jesus. You know, you got to be politically correct or whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, the real elect of God at the end of the age, which is where we are right now, we're going to have to contend with these religious and political powers. But what is going to be your stance? You know, the early church, they had to do it. They threatened them and said, don't speak in that name anymore. And well, the answer was, well, you judge between yourself whether we should obey you or we should obey God. Daniel, they said, well, don't pray to any God. You know, don't make any petition. They already knew that Daniel was perfect in all his ways. There was nothing they could find against him. There was no, I mean, he was upright, he was perfect, he was, you know, promoted and everything, you know. And so they said, look, and they were envious of him. And the only way we are going to get him is in the matter of his God. We know he will not yield, so let's come up with a way to trick him into doing something against the commandment of the king, which will be against the commandment of his God, because we know he will choose the commandment of his God. So let's find something. So they colluded and say, well, let's think about it. They watched him for a while. And they said, well, you know, this man is always praying to his God. Now, one thing that we can do, if we can get the king to sign a law that nobody should make any petition to any man, or any God, or anything for 30 days, we know this man, Daniel, he cannot even wait a day before he will break that thing. That's how we're going to get him. Daniel, knowing that the word was signed against him and so forth, he changed nothing. The Bible said, as he was wont to do, the same thing that he used to do, he did as before. It wasn't just because the law was signed that he started to pray. He was already doing that. And he didn't make any difference to him. Law or no law, I must pray just the way I used to do. Daniel made prayer a business with God, you know. 3 times a day, or how many times a day, he set his face toward Jerusalem and prayed. And whatever, you know, when the time came, he did it. The law of the king notwithstanding. And so they went and they found him doing it. And, you know, they had the evidence. They took evidence because many of them went and said, we found this man praying. Didn't you sign that nobody should? Now, the king, he signed that because he didn't even know. They tricked him into it. He wasn't thinking that they were trying to set a trap for somebody that he actually liked. But the king actually liked Daniel, you know, but he didn't, he just thought, oh, that'd be a good thing. If everybody has obeisance to the king, that's a good thing. He wasn't thinking too far or too deep. So they brought Daniel and they said, well, you know, you said it. The law of the Medes and Persians cannot be removed once signed. You signed the law. Any man that does that must be cast into a den of lions. The king was so sorrowful, but he couldn't do nothing about it because that was the word. He was signed, it was sealed with his seal, and he couldn't change it. And so, regrettably, he had to comply. And so, everybody was rejoicing. Said, well, we got him now. You know, we got him. So, they threw him into the lion's den, you know, at the commandment of the king. But the king, he could not sleep all night long. He could not sleep. He wrestled, he thought, even before they threw him there, he tried to find a loophole, you know, called some other counselors. Can you find a loophole in this law? I mean, how can we get Daniel out of this thing? I said, no, you already signed it. The law cannot be changed. He called some more people. He struggled and struggled, tried to deliver Daniel by any means. He couldn't do it. So finally, he gave in. And they threw Daniel into that lion's den. And those people rejoiced. Yes, finally, got rid of this man. But see, Daniel, he stood right there with the law of his God in his heart. You know, so, and ladies and gentlemen, there are coming times that we're going to have to contend with these kinds of things. What's it going to be once the law is handed down? And there's a law handed down today. You can't speak about Jesus in your workplace, you know. And then because of that, you no longer speak about Jesus, you know, because you're afraid you're going to get fired. You know, these people, they face that in life. Daniel faced it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced it. In fact, in Daniel's case, it was you shouldn't pray. In the other one is that you should bow to some image. Either one is a bow. No, we're never going to do it. We only bow to the God of heaven. You know, and he said, well, penalty of life. You do it. And Nebuchadnezzar gave them another chance. He loved those kids too. They were among the, you know, the princes that had knowledge and understanding that he chose. And he gave them a chance. You know, if you hear the music and you fall down, like the law says, you know, I'll let you go. But if you don't do it, I have no choice but to cast you into the fire. And they said, look, you know, O king, we will not even be careful. This is not a debate. You know, our minds are made up. Our God, whom we serve, Makoriba Shendiri Labos, is able to deliver us. And I often say, look, that has to be your posture. That you must know that God is able to deliver you. That is non-negotiable. That's the first place of your faith when you face this crisis. You must know it in your heart. That's non-negotiable. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. And he will deliver us. That's it. They put it out there. They gave their testimony even before the deliverance. He will deliver us. But if for whatever reason, he chooses not to, best known to him, we still will not bow. You know, we are sold out. They loved not their lives unto the death. They gave their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. And the man gave them one last chance. Penalty of death. Recount. Do this and I'll let you live. Or we're going to hit up this thing 7 times. Do what you may, but we are not doing it. And he was furious. I am the monarch of all the kings and kingdoms. And you will just disrespect me like this. Hit up the place 7 times. And they heat it up. He himself was standing behind some fireproof glass. But the people that tried to throw those folks in, they themselves were consumed by the flames because the flames were so hot. Because Nebuchadnezzar was several feet away in a safe place looking through the glass. And then the next thing he knew, all the soldiers that bound these people threw them in. They themselves were slain by the fire because the fire was so hot. And then he was looking to see the ashes of these people. And my goodness, what he saw You say, my God, my goodness, did we not throw three men bound hand and foot into this fire? How come now I see four men loose, walking around, and there's no hurt in them? And the fourth is like the son of man. How did he know that? How did he know that? You know, so bring him out, bring him out. And he looked at them. There was no hurt in them. Say, my goodness, what happened here? The next thing he knew, he turned around, made a law. You know, same thing with Darius in the case of Daniel. When he went in the morning, couldn't sleep. Oh, Daniel, is thy God whom you serve continually able to deliver you from the lions? Talk to me, Daniel. And Daniel said, oh, King, live forever. I'm right here. The man shouted and rejoiced because he never wanted Daniel in that position. But you see, Daniel, he had to love not his life unto the death. Neither did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were ready to go up against no matter what commandment. You know, they will give their life for it. And they said, bring him out of there. Bring him out of there and cast all those people that conspired against him into that same place. And my goodness, Daniel said, well, inasmuch as there was no iniquity found in me, the Lord sent his angel, closed the mouth of the lions. Daniel slept soundly. The king didn't even sleep in his own kingly chamber. Daniel slept in the lion's den. You know, those lions, they have these big, especially the male lions, big, giant male lions. They have these mane. Big mane, soft and cushiony. Daniel probably laid down on one of them. It was his pillow all night long. Just lay down there, you know. They were just there. They didn't even touch him. So he stroked them a bit, you know. They just said, cool. He just lay down there with him. And nothing happened to him. And then threw those guys in there, the other guys, before they even got to the bottom of the pit, the lions had made mastery of them. Wow. So the psalmist is saying here, look, you know, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, verse 46, and I will not be ashamed. He's not going to back down. So that's a lesson we need to learn. I'm going to read two more verses to verse 48, and I'm going to stop for today. And he said, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes. Ladies and gentlemen, we are reading through Psalms 119. A powerful, powerful depiction of the Word of God and how David related to the Word of God. So powerful. Many prayers, many lessons, many admonitions, many exhortations, and even commandments out of these things that we can learn. So we're going to read through it the next few days. I'm going to take one piece a little bit at a time and read through everything one by one. And we're going to testify and declare what you learned through this process. There are many hidden things we can learn from these verses. You know, there's a long ways yet to go. You know, long way yet to go. Maybe I'll read a few more verses. There's a long way yet to go. Let me read verses 49 to 56. And then we'll start at 57 next time. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. That's right. You know, his hope in the word of the Lord. You know, this is my comfort, even in my affliction. Thy word hath quickened me, made me alive. He spoke that word to himself. Oh, my soul, why thou depressed? Why thou cast down? Why thou disquieting? Hope thou in God. Speak the word of God to himself. Thy word is my comfort in my affliction. Your word has quickened me. The proud had me, you know, greatly in derision. They made fun of me. Yet I stayed right with the word of God. I did never decline from thy law. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and I have comforted myself that the Lord, vengeance is his. He'll take care of business. You just stay right there with the word of God. Don't worry about what others are doing. Horror, you know, taking hold of me sometimes, you know, when the wicked, they come up against me and so forth. You know, because of the wicked that forsake thy law. He looked at it and all around him. My goodness, he saw the evil that was in the land. You know, and he was, you know, he was grieved. He was grieved to see that the fear of God has completely departed from men. You know, and there was a group of people in Ezekiel 9 that also, you know, they were grieved and they sighed for all the abominations that were done in the land. And God set them apart before destruction came to the others. So this man was in horror when he looked all around him. He said, well, but in your statutes, this has been my song, you know, even in the house of my pilgrimage. He also knew that, you know, he was not here forever. He saw himself as a stranger in a land and he was going somewhere. You know, just like we're told in Hebrews 11. They all saw and themselves as strangers, but they looked for a city. Ha, Kandori Abash. Look for a city. The builder and maker who was God. You know, and they were always looking. This man also said, well, I consider myself, you know, in the journey of my pilgrimage here, your statutes have been my songs. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, even in the night. I have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. Well, let me leave it there. You know, we're going to continue the reading of these Psalms and bringing out many, many things out of these Psalms. This whole Psalm, 176 verses. We've only covered 56, maybe about a little underneath a third way through, and we'll cover the rest of them throughout the next couple of days or so. But I want to give you a chance to react to some of the things that we have heard. You know, I'm going to make it a duty by the grace of God to cover many more verses the next few days. Make sure that we cover it all in the next 3 days. And we will, by the grace of God. Now, so try to read ahead. We'll be reading from verse 57, you know, to maybe 100 and something tomorrow. Just read through a lot of it. Probably won't talk too much through it, but I will call out a few key verses. And, you know, here are a few key verses for you to look ahead. Verse 67 is a good one. Look ahead in that. This tells you that, you know, sometimes, you know, affliction may come when people go astray. It said before, I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I returned and kept thy word. Read ahead to, you know, verse 80. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I may not be ashamed. Read ahead to verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You know, read ahead to verse 92 and 93. Unless thy law had been my delights, then I should have, you know, perished in my affliction, but I would never forget thy precepts, and so on. You know, and then just keep reading ahead. We'll probably go all the way through to verse at least 104 or longer. You know, read ahead through all of these things. Verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding. I talk about that all the time. Therefore, I hate every false way. And verse 105, we quote this one all the time. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. You know, verse 114, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. And then verse 130, my favorite, the entrance of thy words giveth light, and it giveth understanding unto the simple. Order my steps, verse 133, in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Powerful stuff. And then verse 140, the word, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth thee, and so on and so forth. So just read ahead. You know, I'll call out a few verses as we read through the rest of it tomorrow and the next day by the grace of God. But powerful, powerful stuff in this psalm. And I titled today's room as Psalm 119, the Word of God, so powerful. God bless the reading of his word today into our hearts. And may we delight in the law of the Lord, just like this man delighted. May we, you know, have respect unto the Lord's law and his testimonies and his statutes. May we, you know, tremble at his word, even as the Lord said, this is the man to whom I will look. You know, he that is of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. You know, now you say the Lord will have respect unto a person, not that kind of respect, you know, not dissimulation, but in Isaiah 66 verse 2, if you tremble at his word and if you have a contrite spirit, Lord said, I will regard you. Hallelujah. But the Lord said, I will regard them not that forsake my words. So may the Lord help every one of us to have this passion to keep the word of God in our hearts. And this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate upon it day and night. And blessed is the man that maketh even the God of Jacob and his word his delight. You know, and he walketh not, you know, in the counsel of the ungodly. He standeth not in the way of sinners, nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And what will happen to him? Psalm 1 verse 4, I mean verses 1 to 4 and so on, I'm reading. And he shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God bless his word into our hearts. That's our lesson for today. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.